Welcome back to Clear Voice. I've missed you. We've been 3 weeks apart now, but I'm glad that we're back. And I have some exciting news. My Speak Up, Speak Out sessions are back with two new dates. These are ideal for you if you want to get your voice heard and perform better under pressure. The dates are the 26th of November and the 11th of December, and they're in Peckham. All the information is available on my website, florencebavanandan.com. And if you want any other information or you can't make either of those dates, you can email me at clearvoicelondon@gmail.com. This week, I spoke to Ella and Sarah, who are two amazing plus-size influencers. We talked about self-confidence, when to step away from a situation that is silencing you, and how to get your voice heard by building your own platform. Let's hear what they have to say. We have got Ella Siso and Sarah Brown.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
So, Sarah, you are Sarah of Sarah Brown Design, and Ella, you are Fat Girl Fashion Inspo.
Yeah.
And together, you are
88
Podcast. Okay, so a general overview of what you do. Mm-hmm. Tell me.
Well, we are co-founders of the 88 Podcast, but alongside that, I work as a fashion designer. So I'm currently starting my own fashion brand, which is how I in fact met you. Mm-hmm. And alongside that, I do freelance fashion design, and then also work on creating content for my Instagram, and hopefully just work as a voice for plus size women.
Yeah. Amazing. And Ella?
Now I've got to beat that intro, okay. So I am a content creator at Fat Girl Fashion Inspo, which is all like style, fun style, plus size, because that's the clothes that fit me. Yeah. Then what else do we do? So we have our podcast, which is really exciting. And I have numerous other boring side hustles.
Amazing. Everyone's got to have side hustles.
Yes, yes.
I have to say, this is the most colourful podcast record I've ever done. Make sure that you look at the pictures, because these ladies are in fantastic outfits.
Rainbow dreams.
Absolutely. I feel like I pale in comparison.
Well, you put effort in.
I did.
Like, I'm going to put
exactly
colours on.
I did try. So we are here to talk about voices. So tell me, what's your relationship with your voice?
I've always been like kind of very loud and wanted to be heard. But I think as I've got older, it's mellowed out a bit more. Like, I don't like to, like if I'm in a group of people, I don't like to fight to have my say, if you know what I mean?
So interesting.
If there are some people that are kind of more outspoken, kind of, I suppose, I'll kind of let the room do their thing and kind of take a step back. But in relation to my actual voice, I used to, believe it or not like to hear the sound of my voice at all. Like, I wouldn't do Instagram stories because I just heard myself and thought, oh my gosh, who's going to want to hear me? Why does anyone speak to me? And now I do stories every single day, and we have a podcast. So obviously now I love the sound of my voice.
And you're also amazing at accents.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you are.
We've got to hear some now.
That's not a thing. It's
Southern,
not a thing.
Southern,
no,
raw.
Don't.
She's done a whole podcast in a Southern American accent.
No, I did a, there's this podcast called The Other Stories, and they were looking for narrators, that they just do short stories. And I had to send them like a little interview kind of tape thing. And then they sent me back a story, but the story could only be done in like a Southern American accent because of the way that it was written. And I was like, wow, throw me in at the deep end. Like, I have no experience in this whatsoever. And then I just had to do this whole story in this accent. And then I also do another side hustle, scare acting in Halloween. And they also put me in a room that was kind of like Hills Have Eyes vibes. Ooh. So again, wanting me to do this Southern accent. And then that's the only kind of acting, voice acting, the stuff that anyone wants me to do, and I just cannot do it. And it's, don't make me do it now.
Okay. So how, that's really interesting, because something that is your job, like you, but you couldn't do it before because you didn't have a good relationship with your voice. What changed?
I think it's just getting used to it. I just kept putting the stories out there, and no one said, "Oh my gosh, shut up, I hate you." So. And just, I think it's something that just with anything, it's getting used to it. Just the more I heard myself back, the less cringe, like the less I cringed.
Yeah.
And that's yeah, that's it really, just getting used to it.
Great. And Sarah, what about you?
Okay. I feel like I have, again, probably always been quite like easy to talk. I think I've always been able to chat. I think that's also because I grew up like with a lot of adults. So I'm an only child. So I almost had like friends that were my parents' friends. So yeah. I felt like that meant that I was talking to adults as though they were, you know, my friends when I was like five and stuff. So I got to that quite quickly. But then one thing which I went through, especially when I was sort of at senior school, was I got called the posh girl at school, even though I'm not posh. It's just I'm from Yorkshire, so I sound posh.
Posh in Yorkshire.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of sayings that I always used to sort of think I said wrong. So like when I used to say like, hello, my name is Sarah, I think I'd be like, hi, my name is Sarah. And like, and it's just like, I said it really quickly, or like, so my friends would kind of laugh about that.
Did that affect you? Did it make you want to speak less or more?
I think I kind of liked the sort of comedy of it, I suppose. And it still continued, like even after meeting my now husband's friends, like they were like, oh, is the helicopter picking you up soon, kind of thing. I'm just like, I don't have a helicopter. And like, I think when I'm talking, I don't realise that maybe I do sound posher than some people. But then I think when I hear things back, I'm like, oh, I do sound. I mean, I'm so not posh, but I don't know.
That's really interesting.
But then I also have some like Yorkshire things. So like if I say a U word, so like a duck, or like a, so if I say put up bed, it's like a,
what? A what?
Yeah, like, so my husband always used to take the mic out of this. A put up bed is like a
sounds like a pub bed.
It's like one of those like temporary put up beds, but I don't pronounce it right. So I'm just like, yeah, put up bed.
I've never heard of a put-up bed.
I know, maybe it's like my
Yorkshire dialect.
Yeah. But, so yeah, there's sometimes it creeps out. I'm also like horrendous at accents. And then like my husband's from Cornwall, and whenever we're down there, I'll like try and say place names, and I always end up making it sound Welsh. So.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I probably don't have that much confidence. Yeah, I suppose I definitely would never try and do like accents. I'm utterly rubbish.
I think accents, they often start so well for the first syllable and then just go very quickly downhill.
Yeah.
Unless obviously Urella doing a South American one, and then it's brilliant. Amazing. And so going along the vein of voices and finding them, is there a time where you really felt like you had a voice and you made a difference?
Okay. Do you know, I think that is actually just happening, really. I feel through Instagram and through our podcast, it has given like me a platform to be able to talk through like my thoughts and opinions. And also, like I think Ella was saying, like doing stories and stuff, like finding the confidence that people actually want to hear what you are going to say, because, you know, like I get really interested in what people are going to say. So of course there's other people out there that are interested in what I want to say. I think that's probably been like the main part where I've kind of felt that I'm making perhaps like a difference in other people's lives by what I'm saying.
That's great.
Now.
Now. I'd like that. That's exciting. Ella, what about you?
I would have to say literally the same. I won't say that on every question, but I think the same. I can't really think of another time. But yeah, in the last few years, you know, having like a small little platform and like having a place where you can say like what you think and or try and, you know, champion other people and lifting up what they think and trying to share it. I think everyone's saying so much these days, if you know what I mean. So it's like difficult, I think, with even though we now have a platform that we feel we have a voice, at the same time that can be hard because also everyone does.
Interesting. So is that about standing out from the crowd or being lost in the noise, or are they the same thing?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just thinking that for the first time as I said it, which is always good. But no, I think because we've got quite our little niche, me and Sarah, like small plus size, rainbow, colourful. And we've become like a bit of a twosome.
Yeah.
That I think we've got like a very small, but a small audience that do listen and like do, we can make a small difference. Mm. Like, you know, we'll get messages on Instagram like, oh, I've worn this bright thing, I thought I couldn't wear that, and like, and it's a small little thing, but really that can make a difference to someone's day, that they feel more comfortable now to wear something that they would have wanted to but couldn't. And even though in like the scheme of the world it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you know, it really is, if you can even affect anyone's life in a small way, like in a good positive way.
Yeah, I 100% I think it does, because equally, if that person whose life you've affected, well, everyone deserves to feel happy and feel comfortable, yeah, for a start. But if that person whose life you're affected is someone who is then going to go on to make a big change in the world, if they feel good about themselves, they're going to make that change. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, you might not feel like you're making a big change in what you're doing, but what you're doing might affect huge change elsewhere.
Butterfly effect.
The butterfly effect. Exactly.
Love that.
And also, like, I have to say, so Sarah, we met recently, yeah, and we've just met today. And I was, you know, obviously doing my podcast research, as one does, having a little stalk. And, you know, when I grew up, and still now, you know, I'm small on the top, but really big on the bottom. And when I was younger, I was the tallest out of my friends. I was the biggest out of my friends. I was, mm-hmm, a lot chubbier than I am now. And I always felt so unbelievably uncomfortable. Mm. And I grew up in the, as I think we all did, in the era, yeah, of like Paris Hilton,
yeah,
being the ideal.
Kate Moss.
Exactly. And I felt shit about myself for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at your stuff and it made me really, really emotional. It made me...
Aww.
I know. I thought, like, if when I was younger I had seen that, mm, I would have felt so different about myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it is actually, you know, you make a big difference to people.
Aw, thank you.
All the feels.
I was going to say, relating to that, recently I took, well, you've posted a nude photo before, haven't you, Ella? But yeah, last Friday I posted the most nude photo that I have ever, mostly because I'm going to be a life model with the Anti-Diet Right Club, which Ella has previously done, and I saw that Ella could do it and she was fabulous, so I was like, I can do, aww, it too.
Yes.
And I was trying to, so basically I posted it on Friday and then I had a family reunion on the Saturday and I was like, don't think this is the best timing, but you know, and most or a lot of them had seen it and, you know, kind of did little comments and stuff, but I was like, no, I'm going to fully take ownership of this. I'm not going to let you be like, no, like, yeah, nudie. And I was just like, oh yeah, I took it. And I, the reason I took it, and like, so I was kind of explaining to people that I was doing it whilst almost thinking of myself in third person, if that makes sense. So like almost like an outer body experience, if that's, it's just like trying to be the person that inspires me, so I can inspire other people, because like, you know, there's people out there that I always look to if I'm feeling a little bit down. So if I could help other people in that way, then that's really good.
Definitely. And I think also visibility of plus size bodies, we do not see that ever on TV or in media.
Not in a positive light, anyway.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, the same as people of colour. We don't see people of colour's bodies really ever.
Yeah.
It's like white skinny bodies.
Yeah.
That's it. So yeah, I think it's amazing to have more bodies like that out there that you just see and you're like, oh, this is normal.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So obviously we've done the positive, moving, yeah, to the negative. What about a time when you felt like you didn't have a voice?
So I think for me, because obviously now I've made a transition to hopefully start working for myself and to start having my own voice in that way and not be limited through that. But I think when, or since like leaving uni and working for bigger brands, I know that like the brands that I've worked for have always had the same like end goal as me. And like they're ultimately amazing brands, but I think a lot of the time when you're an assistant and you're, you know, down the lower end of the ranks, like sometimes it's really hard for you to be heard. And I think I found that really quite like just knocked away at me a little bit. And so like after a few years, it just made me feel like less confident than I did before I went into the industry, which I think is kind of like a bit of a backward way to be. Like, most people would gain confidence. So I just kind of felt like if I had an idea, I always had to back it up with other people supporting that idea. And I know often like that is possibly the way in business. You have to provide proof that it's going to work. But I think sometimes I just felt like I had to really fight for things, or and also sometimes I just didn't fight for things because I already sat down and I was like, there's no point, like it's not going to work. So I was just like, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to sit here and I'll just do the job, even though I wasn't doing the job because I wasn't bringing the ideas, but yeah. I just felt a bit demoralized.
So what would you do if you could do it all again, or give advice to someone who's in that position? What would you say?
I honestly don't know. Because I genuinely feel like I had to leave the situation to get out of it, really. I kind of think...
maybe that's it.
Yeah. Like, if it's so important to you to have your voice heard, then, yeah, build a platform for yourself where you can be heard and where people are interested in hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, and that could be, as you've done, on social media, or it could be transferring job, you know, going somewhere where you're valued,
because it's hard. It's like I knew that they did value, but then it just didn't feel really enough, or like I was always a bit looked down upon, perhaps. I think like for the way I dress, like because I'm so colorful, and if I brought something really colorful to the table as a designer, you know, often people would be like, oh, it's just what you like, it's not what everyone likes. And I'm like, yeah, but there's more people out there like me, so I think it could work.
Ella, what about you?
I think every time I felt like I don't have a voice is almost always to do with like my own personal confidence in the situation. So it is almost always like a work setting, you know, where if I felt like something wasn't right, or then I'm never like fully confident in myself. You know, when you look back and you're like, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that. But I didn't because I wasn't confident enough to say it.
So you know in that situation, you know what you want to say, but you don't say it.
I know. I feel like it's like, if in previous settings where I felt like something's unfair or something's not right, especially in a work environment, I get over emotional, I suppose, and then I can't think of like what I should really say, or I'm not confident enough to be like, I'm going to say this. And then it's not till much later that I'm like, oh, should have said this, should have said that. So I think it is outside factors that make you feel like you're not confident enough. But I do feel like there's so many situations that I could have had my own voice just by taking it. But yeah, I think it's self-doubt that makes me feel like I don't have my own voice. Yeah. And so if especially again, a work situation, if something goes wrong, I'll always feel like, oh, I've got to message 10 different people to be like, am I justified in this? Should I say this? Is this an okay thing to say? You know, like, is this the right email to send? But yeah, I think it's always the lacking in self-belief that makes me feel like I don't have a voice.
And so what do you do to change that? How do you tackle it personally?
I've done it by not having a boss for a year and a half.
Good start.
So that's been so good that no one fits you in that situation. But I feel like if I did go back into regular work, that hopefully from having this time where I haven't had like a normal kind of boss, I would be more self-assured and say how I actually felt things would be. But yeah, I don't know, hindsight's obviously in a good thing. It's easy to say I'll do this, but I think I would try to, like, if I left a meeting and had these thoughts, to try and go back and say, oh, actually I've been thinking about this meeting and this is what I think, rather than just leaving it, which I've done loads of times in the past. So I think that's what I would change.
I think that is a good point. You can, especially in a meeting situation like that, you can clarify, you know, send an email. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I also thought da 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 da, which often sets a new set of ideas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like having an argument and then going back to the person and like, no, you're wrong. But, you know, in that kind of professional situation, it's actually a really good way, if you can't get your thoughts out in a meeting, to do it that way.
Yeah,
and also what you said, really interesting about not having a boss, that having to stand on your own two feet and make decisions without knowing that there's someone above you that might question them.
Yeah.
It can be such a period of growth, can't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. And how are you using your voices for change now?
I would say the podcast is the main big new thing that we're trying to do. So we're just trying to get like...
Are you doing it?
Yes, we are doing it.
Yes.
We're not trying to, we are doing
it. Yes, let's use power talk.
So, yeah, you know, very much like yourselves, we're trying to get like, we are getting a big range of... Wow, I feel like my life's changed just from this conversation.
What can I say?
We are getting like a big range of guests, like people from all different points of view. It's still very new, so we've only had a handful of guests, but we've got... Lots of plans and lots of people that we're going to have on. And I'm hoping just, especially because we talk so much about plus size, things like that, I'm hoping that we can, obviously that would be supportive to other people in the community, but I also want other size people to listen and maybe have a bit more of an awareness of, you know, the issues that people face. And I have even learned so much because I... like a relatively small plus size person, and I now think, oh, you know, what about that person that's so many more sizes bigger than me? Like, what about their struggles? It's just good to like hear other people's stories, I suppose, and that's the way I think that we're trying to make a change to give other people the opportunity to share their stories.
Sarah?
I mean, yes, all of that. what was I gonna say? Yeah, I think, well, part of it for me as well, I suppose, ties into the colour and the fact that I'm obsessed with colour.
Are you?
Only a tiny bit. It's a small thing. Because actually I had an amazing talk a couple of years ago when I first moved back from Italy and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Knew I wanted to work on like my Instagram and to get a voice, but I still had nothing really then. And I had a one-to-one session with one of my family friends who is called Christine Gilbert, and she's an amazing woman. She is like a life coach and helps businesses and also helps women. And so she sort of had a session with me to try and like find out how I work, what makes me tick, and like what I wanted to progress towards. And we made a board, basically just went through magazines and cut out words and pictures and everything that was inspiring me. So
vision board,
that's the word.
I love a good vision board. I haven't done one, but I feel like
it is good.
You've made it sound very appealing.
Yeah. And then afterwards we kind of looked at it all and she was like, I want you to choose like three words from all of this that are like the most important to you. And so the most important words that I got were create, colour and confidence. And so she was like, well, that's it. That's your thing. Like you're creating colour confidence.
Wow.
And after that, like, I think it's still in my bio.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah. And I was just like, it is. That's so perfect for me. And yeah, so I think trying to spread the joy that it gives me to other people and hoping that, yeah, people can take inspiration from that and bring the excitement into their own lives, really.
Amazing. Yeah, I think it's incredible. I was just thinking to myself, do I wear enough colour? Because it does make me happy. And then also I was thinking, as a woman trying to be taken seriously in business, I often default to just black.
Yeah.
I was thinking that today, actually, because I was also working my other boring job today, and I was like, I wish I need to get some more trousers. And then I was thinking, the only smart trousers are black trousers. Like, I need to get some, what smart, if I came in my like bright orange trousers, would I be smart?
It's an interesting
thing. So true.
Yeah.
Colour
Queen, tell us.
I was in the Barclays like headquarters building for a Prince's Trust thing, and I walked in, I'm in a rainbow dress with a rainbow top and a pink blazer, and very colourful. And I walked in, I was like, I stand out like an absolute sore thumb. Like everyone else was in black suits, but the thing is, I've already had, I reckon, at least three or four people telling me how they love my colour and they love my outfit. And I was like, but if you seeing this just for like 5 minutes has given you joy, wouldn't it be so lovely if you could bring that into your life and you could have that joy the whole time.
When I'm with Sarah, I'm the boring one.
Like, literally, we go out together, people taking pictures of Sarah and I'm holding her bags. People are like, wow, you look so nice. And I'm like, yeah, she does.
You look gorgeous too.
No, I know I do, but I am the boring one with you. With you, like, literally.
Just got more hair clips in.
No, and don't be modest.
Yeah, own it. So finally, ladies, who inspires you? Who are your female empowerment inspirations?
Well, I feel like I can never think of anyone, but I... No, not them. Yeah. Screw them. No. But recently, in the last, I don't know, year or 2 years, Gina Martin, do you know?
I don't. Please tell me.
So this is what I should have said earlier, actually. The time I feel like I don't have a voice is in politics. Like, you know, so much going on that you're like, why is this happening? And you're like, you vote and nothing changes. And it's like, so that is probably what I should have said earlier. Like, politics makes me feel like I don't have a voice. But Gina, I don't know her personally. Gina Martin, my pal Gina.
G-Dog.
She recently got a law put in place that made upskirting illegal.
I have heard of her.
So the reason that she's inspiring is because I always feel like with politics, I've got no voice, I can't do anything, there's these problems, nothing I can do, oh, so helpless. And she just like saw, it wasn't just like I think her journey was very hard and difficult and arduous, and but she brought a new law into place, like changed the law, which is incredible. And it's something that you would obviously think should be illegal, like upskirting is taking pictures up people's skirts, obviously.
Yeah.
That should be, why should that be legal? That's absolutely wild that that's legal, but it's not anymore. But I think just because she saw something and she made it change. And that's incredible, because I always feel like there's nothing I can do, can't change a law. And she did. And I think that's just so amazing.
It's so amazing. Oh yeah, I was thinking about her the other day, and someone was talking about Princess Diana and how whenever she got out of cars, that paparazzi would always try and take photos of her
skirt. So disgusting.
So disgusting, but it was so accepted as well. For some, why on earth was that okay?
Yeah, and like pictures, oh, so-and-so's not wearing any underwear. Look,
so what? When we're growing up, exactly. It's like, oh, another dirty woman. You know, but and then it makes it okay for like normal people. Yeah. I don't want to call them normal people, but like everyday people to just like do an upskirt.
Absolutely, yeah. But I just the fact that she got something
amazing
changed, it's just so inspiring to me. And I'm like, well, what law shall I change? There's too many, I can't decide that. I'll work on that.
Sarah, what about you?
Okay, so I feel like she's always very inspiring, and I've definitely mentioned her on our podcast. But a lady or girl, I'm trying
woman
to... Oh, woman.
Yeah.
Woman's nice. Woman. Yeah. Because again, after listening to your last podcast, I've really been trying to not say girl. Mm. But lady does sometimes seem very...
Lady, yeah.
Okay, so a woman called Naomi Shimada. I think I'm saying Naomi right, because I used to say Naomi, but then I heard her say her name and I swear she said Naomi. Anyway, Naomi Shimada, and she is a model. I kind of want to say activist, but I'm not entirely sure if she is. And then also an author most recently. She collaborated with another amazing woman and brought out a book called Mixed Feelings, I think, which is about social media and how it's affecting our lives and how we can sort of use it to make us happier, I suppose. But again, I think the reason she inspires me so much is just like, she just makes me smile, because she's always smiling and she's always really colourful. She just, again, also seems so, so kind. Like, it, I don't know, love just seems to radiate from her, which makes me feel really happy, and I want to inspire to be like that. And like, she's an amazing dancer. Just like watching her dance, I find really inspiring. Just the general package, she just seems lovely, and I think like if more people could be like her, I'd be like really happy.
I think the world sounds like the world would be a much better place. Oh, well, thank you so much, ladies. I have loved speaking to you. Thank you for your colourfulness. I've just
okay.
I've enjoyed it so much.
Thank you so much for having us. It's
been really thank nice. you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Clear Voice podcast. All the people we mentioned, as always, are listed in the show notes below. And don't forget to book your one-to-one Speak Up, Speak Out consultation. And we'll see you next week.